How can I know God's will? Why do I do what I don't want to do? How long should I keep praying? How can I stop worrying? Thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we bring our series called Hard Questions to a close. Pastor Rick Warren will take one final look at what God's Word says about navigating through the muddy waters of life's seemingly unanswerable questions. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that you can take with you wherever you go. It will provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. It's a book by Pastor Rick called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called, How Can I Stop Worrying?
John 14:1 says, Jesus said, don't be worried or upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. That's the starting point. Believing in God, believing in Christ. Now, for many people, this is not easy to do because fears come in and doubts come in and skepticism comes in and our background and the things we've learned and things that critics have said to us. And sometimes if you're an intelligent person, you just have this tug of war going on in your mind about can I believe or should I not believe? I want you to hear a good example of this morning. It's a very intelligent woman. She has a PhD in linguistics from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And I want you to hear her story of how she came to faith in Christ. Would you give her a warm welcome?
Hi, my name is Betsy, and I'd like to share with you how I finally got to know God after years of doubting, resisting, and skepticism about whether there really is a God and what He is like. I was raised to go to church, but I never felt anything from it. During college and graduate school, I became less and less interested in God. I had tried to reach Him and had gotten no answer, so I felt pretty sure that He just wasn't there. A year and a half ago, I started coming to Saddleback Church. I had never been completely sure that God wasn't real, so I thought I should take my kids to church just in case. Also, I saw the happiness and peace that Christians seem to have, and I wanted it if it was real. Singing the songs at church often moved me and made me cry, but I didn't know whether the songs touched me because they were true and God was real, or just because I was wishing for them to be true. The happiness that Christians had looked real, but I thought that they could be just deluding themselves. I imagined that if I believed there was a God who knew my name and loved me, I would feel happy too, even if it weren't true. But I wasn't interested in fooling myself into feeling happy. I started going to a group for spiritual seekers in February. Pastor Rick had formed the group for people who had doubts and questions about God, but were intellectually honest enough to check it out. It was a huge relief to find other people with the same reservations that I had about believing in God, yet the same desire to learn more. After about 2 months of reading and discussing evidence for God, the Bible, Jesus as a historical person, and Jesus' resurrection, my skepticism had been reduced enough that I could say Christianity was intellectually possible, but I couldn't get any farther than that. I still didn't believe it. Around this time, I talked with the leader of the group. He said that if I looked for God, God would answer and show Himself to me. I said, with some emotion, I've done that. Why didn't He answer me before? Richard said, I think He's answering you right now by you being here talking to me. Maybe you weren't ready before. It felt as if it might be true. It made me cry to have that little bit of hope. But it was easy to dismiss that, too, as just wishful thinking. A few days later, I talked with Richard again about wanting it all to be true, but the impossibility of knowing for sure, and about feeling moved sometimes, but not wanting to delude myself. Finally, Richard said, with exasperation, "You're making it impossible. You're ignoring every sign." I thought a lot about that over the next few days. I realized that I was fighting it, and I was making it impossible for myself to believe. Sean, a fellow seeker, and I talked one night about how to give it a chance to be true. He said it seemed as if I was trying to step onto a tightrope, but because I was so scared, I was also trying to hold onto the pole and platform with both arms at the same time. We talked about putting just one foot onto the tightrope and trying it on for short periods of time to see whether it felt true. That sounded like a good idea. For me, since the songs at church often moved me, we talked about letting myself believe in God for just 5 minutes during a song. I decided to try that. A couple nights later, as I drove by myself, I did an exercise where you say the first half of a sentence and then say whatever endings pop into your head. It's a good way to reach feelings that otherwise don't come out. I said, if God is real, there's hope, there's comfort, I have to change, and I've been very wrong. Then I said, if I step over the line, people will know, it will feel good, I'll change, I'll be at peace, and I won't be in turmoil. I said, I want to believe in God because I need him and I like what it does for people I see. Then I don't want to believe in God because I'd have to do things I don't want to do. And the scary things about stepping over the line are, I won't be able to do it right, and what will people think about me? But that brought me back to if God is real. And if God is real, it doesn't matter what other people think. I found more reasons to believe than not to believe, and the reasons to believe were better. Also, I didn't come up with anything about deluding myself. I suspected that my focus on not deluding myself had been partly a defense to keep me from getting to the real reasons. When I got home, I got out some song sheets from church so I could sing my favorite songs to myself while trying to let myself believe them. I was looking for I Sought the Lord, but it wasn't there, so I sang just as much as I remembered. I was really looking forward to going to church and trying on God during the songs. At church the next morning, I took out the song sheet to see if it had any of the songs that moved me. I was amazed to see that all the songs I had been looking for the night before were on the sheet, including I Sought the Lord. It felt like an answer and a gift from God. I felt there really was a God who was close, who acted in the world, and who cared about my seeking him. It was wonderful. I knew I could explain that one away too, but I didn't want to. I was filled with peace and reassurance. I didn't want to tell anyone who might make too much or too little of it, so I called Sean. It was great to talk to another seeker who could really understand. I couldn't wait until Thursday night to tell the rest of my seekers group. It's funny how another seeker can be so happy for you to believe, even if he doesn't believe. Sean asked me, "So, do you believe in God?" I didn't want to say it out loud, but they kind of made me answer. So I said, I guess I do. It felt really strange, and a big part of me was shouting inside, are you kidding? No, you don't. But it was good to say it and hear it out loud. It forced me to get off the fence, and eventually it became more comfortable. The next day, I felt an amazing peace and happiness, thinking, I believe in God. I didn't think I could, but I do. There is a God. Another big change was that I was able to pray without feeling ridiculous. I thanked God for his gift to me, and I asked for his help in believing. But I only believed in a God, not the Bible or Jesus dying and rising again and the rest of Christianity. As I began thinking more about that, I still had the peaceful feeling that God was real and close, but I became very unsettled and I didn't sleep much. I kept trying to investigate the evidence to decide whether it was all true, but I wasn't convinced in my mind. I couldn't find a way to be completely sure, to truly believe it. However, after I had tasted the peace of believing in God, I felt it would be worse if the Bible was true and I missed out on knowing God than if it were not true and I deluded myself. So I shifted the burden of proof, and I continued to pray a lot for God's help. An important change for me occurred when I started researching the word believe. I found that believe can mean to accept something through trust or faith without being certain. Believing can be done with your heart instead of your head, and through willing instead of thinking. I decided to try to come up with something I could truthfully say about believing in Jesus. I wasn't ready to say these actual words, but I was close. I wrote in my journal, "I still have doubts. I don't understand how it works or why it would be this way. I don't have evidence to prove it's true. But even though in my head I don't know for certain, I choose to trust with my heart and rely on Jesus' offer of salvation. I choose to believe with my heart that Jesus is God, died, and rose again. I invite Jesus to be Lord of my life." I remembered a Bible verse from the last Seekers meeting. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. It says believe in your heart, not believe in your head. I wrote this in my journal. It doesn't say my head has to agree. It says follow your heart. My analytical side still has reservations, but my heart longs for it. The next morning, as I walked into a Bible study, I prayed that I would get something out of it. I was so happy that the first song was "With All of My Heart," which keeps repeating that line. I sang it gratefully, beginning to think that that coincidence was another gift from God. What song could have been more perfect? After the lesson, a woman talked to us about becoming a Christian 6 months before. She kept crying as she talked about what a difference it had made in her life and how good it felt. Tears were rolling down my cheeks, for her and for me, and for once I didn't try to stop crying out of embarrassment. When she finished, I really wanted to cry deeply. I put my elbows on the table and my forehead in my hands, and I tried to keep it discreet, but I didn't try to stop it. Then they announced that we would sing the closing song. All year we had never sung a closing song. It was a song based on Philippians 1:6 that I'd been thinking about a lot. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I cried through the whole song, then went over to Robin, who had talked about becoming a Christian. I sat down beside her, said, "Can I talk to you?" and just started crying on her shoulder. I'd never met her before. I had an impulse to tell her that she had just helped me become a Christian, but I wasn't sure that I had, so I didn't say it. That afternoon, I called Richard, and after stating my reservations for an hour, eventually agreed to pray with him to accept Jesus. Then I called Sean, my fellow seeker, and told him. 3 days later, he became a Christian too. I think I really started believing when I was crying at the Bible study, which is odd because I didn't do anything then. I just prayed to get something out of it and tried to be open to it, to follow my heart instead of my head. God did the rest as soon as I gave up trying to control it all myself. Sometimes I still forget that I don't have to handle everything myself, and I start to worry about whether I'll be good enough in my relationship with God or whether I'll be able to work out the problems I face. But every time I surrender these things to God and trust his plan and his timing, I find God is waiting to fill me with his strength, joy, and peace as soon as I'll open my heart to receive it. In closing, I'd like to say that if you've been filled with doubts or questions or skepticism about Jesus and God, I encourage you to do what I did. Just try believing. Allow yourself to believe in Christ, and you'll see the difference he can make in your life. Thank you.
Now, could you hear the tug-of-war going on in Betsy's mind? I want to believe, but I don't believe. I want to believe, but I can't believe. I want to believe, but is there a God? I don't know if there's a God. Maybe there is a God. Maybe there isn't a God. And this belief, that tug-of-war is a classic example of worry. If you're going to get over worry, the first thing you have to do is believe. You have to do like Betsy did, saying, "I'm going to choose to believe. Even if it's for 5 minutes, I'm going to choose for believe." I love that. I think I'll believe in God during one song. That was a great line. A great line. And when you choose to believe, you are amazed at what happens in your life. And God's witness puts his witness in your heart. You can sense his presence. You know what you know. That's the first step. Get to know God. If you want to stop worrying, the second thing is put God first. In every area of my life, put God first. Matthew 6:31 to 33 says, "Don't worry at all. Your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need, and he will give it to you if," notice, "you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to." Notice this beautiful phrase, your Heavenly Father knows already what you need. So often we act like God is unaware of our needs, that He's unaware of house payments, that He's unaware of conflict, that He's unaware of illness, but He sees it all. And notice the condition. God says, I will meet all your needs if. What's the condition? If, He says, you put me first in every area of your life. Put me first. You see, anytime you let something replace God first place in your life, you're going to worry. You were made by God. You were made for God. You were made for a purpose. You were made to have God at the center of your life. Anytime you take God out of the center of your life and you put anything else there, no matter how good it is, you're going to worry. You're going to worry. You're setting yourself up for anxiety. Worry is always an indication of mixed up values. Worry is always an indication that God has slipped out of first place into second or third or fifth or 20th place, and you've elevated something else as being the most important thing in your life. So what's the most important thing in your life right now? Is it your career? Is that the most important thing in your life? Is it your family? Is that the most important thing in your life? Is it appearing successful? Is it being popular with some friends? Is it maximizing the amount of pleasure and thrills you can have? Is it a hobby? Is it making money? Is it achieving a certain level of status and success and prestige and power? These things could be all fine and good in their proper place, but they were never meant to be first place in your life. They were never meant to be your God. And if you put any of those things at the center of your life will eventually fall apart. I guarantee it. And you're going to be worried that it's going to fall apart because none of those things have enough power to hold you together. Only God has enough power to hold your life together. Only God can fill the God-shaped hole in your heart. Nothing else can. Sex, pleasure, money, fame, whatever. And when you allow anything else to take first place in your life, anytime you love anything more than God, you're going to be victimized by worry. Because God didn't design you to live that way. It's ironic that about money that whether you've got it or not, you're still going to worry about it. Worry about getting it. Worry about keeping it. Worrying about losing it, whether you've got it or not. So stop living for things. Start living for God. Put Him first in every area of your life. Number three, the third thing Jesus says is live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, Jesus. Jesus is saying, don't open your umbrella till it starts to rain. He's saying there's 2 days you should never worry about, yesterday and tomorrow. Have you ever thought about the fact that today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday? That's profound. Why should I live one day at a time? Well, a couple reasons. Because when you're worrying about tomorrow, you can't enjoy today. You can't stop and smell the roses. You miss today's blessing. Now, it's okay to plan for tomorrow. In fact, Jesus said you ought to plan for tomorrow. But you can't live in tomorrow. You can only live in today. Plan for tomorrow, but you have to live today. And on top of that, when you're always worrying about tomorrow, the future gets overwhelming. You don't know all the problems you're going to have the rest of your life, fortunately. But you're going to have them. But God has allowed the future to come at you in bite-sized pieces. They're called 24-hour segments, called days. And Jesus says, live one day at a time. Like the hourglass, the sand only goes through that center part one grain at a time. You don't have to face all the problems of the future today. You don't need all the power today. God will give you the grace, the strength when you get there. You only need enough power for today. It's give us this day our daily bread, not weekly, monthly, or yearly bread. God, give me the strength I need today. I don't need a tomorrow strength because I'm not in tomorrow yet. Live one day at a time. Finally, Jesus says, trust God to care for all my needs. Trust God to take care of my needs. And He says trust because the root of worry is a lack of faith. That's why in verse 30 He says, oh, you of little faith. Worry and trust cannot fit in the same heart together. When you have trust in your heart, worry can't get in. When you invite faith into your heart, and when you invite worry into your heart, trust goes out the back door. And worry will stay in your heart and in your mind until you invite faith back in the front door. You invite faith in the front door, worry goes out the back door. You can't have them both. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what will happen to you. Literally, it means give them all, means drop them, let them go, turn them loose, like a 100-pound load, just unload it on God. How do you do that? How do you give all your worries and cares to God? Well, a couple ways. One way is to memorize all of the promises in this book. Over 7,000 of these promises, and they're there for you to claim. 7,000. So memorize every one of them by next Sunday. But if you start one a week, you're going to get at least 50 more at the end of next year than you have right now. This is like an insurance policy for believers. When I get an insurance policy, I read what the policy says. And then once I know what's covered, I don't worry about it anymore. Because I know, well, if that happens, it's covered. If that happens, it's covered. The reason you're worrying is you don't know what's covered in your life. You haven't read the policy. You haven't looked at the promises. You haven't seen the things that God has already assumed responsibility for, so you think you're responsible for them. You need to get to know God, and you need to get to go know God's word, so you don't have to worry anymore. Second thing you need to do is pray. Pray instead of worrying. Every time you have a crisis, you have two options: pray or panic, pray or panic, pray or panic. Those are the options. Now, Paul says this in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God your needs. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Now, if you prayed as much as you worry, you'd have a lot less to worry about. And if it's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about either. He's saying pray instead of panicking. What's the result? Incredible peace of mind. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. So what's got you worried this morning? What are you worried about? Whatever it is, give it to God. Give it to him today. Don't walk out of here with a worry in your heart or in your mind. Because those things that are beyond your control are not beyond God's control. You just need to give them to him in trust and faith. Let's bow our heads. He can heal your worries if you'll give them to him. So why don't you pray this prayer? Dear Father in heaven, I admit that I often forget that you're with me. And I often forget what you're like. Would you please forgive me for that? I need to get to know you better. I need to get to know your word better, your promises. I want to believe in God, and I want to believe in you, Jesus. Help me to put you first in every area of my life. Help me to live one day at a time, not worry about tomorrow, but to focus on what you're doing right now. I want to trust you to take care of every one of my needs, financial, relational, physical, social, spiritual, mental, every need in my life you've promised. So help me to trust in you more and worry less. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime, or you can download the Daily Hope podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word, so please stay with us. we want to tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers of 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, "In each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. There's only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you about an exciting new opportunity.
Hey, everybody. I've got some really big news I'm going to tell you about. Our Daily Hope app has been completely redesigned, and it's available now. I want you to get this Daily Hope app. What we did is we listened to all your feedback and we installed all the improvements that you suggested and asked for. The devotional is now easier to read. It's got a darker font. The option to increase the font size is there. We've made it easy to share this devotional with other people. You can even broadcast it right from your phone. It's really cool. Now, here's how you get the app. To get the app on your iPhone, visit the iTunes App Store and search for Daily Hope with Rick Warren. To get the app for an Android device, visit the Google Play Store and search for Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, the official Daily Hope app has our yellow and blue sunburst logo. You're familiar with that. Our app is a convenient way to get your daily dose of Daily Hope. I want you to get this app today. So download the app now and get started.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.